This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Brian Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
Well, hey, you guys glad to be in the house of God? Hey, I want to share something here with you. 1 Kings 8:17 says this, that Solomon said that my father David wanted to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord. You know, David wanted to do that for his God. He wanted to honor his God. And, you know, we know that the church is not a building, but how many of you guys know that a building facilitates and allows us to do ministry, right? I set up and tore down a church for 6 years, okay? So let me just tell you, I understand the value of a building firsthand. And I'm so thankful for the house that we have. The home that we have, that we get to come to. We have plenty of space and we can spread out, we can have events and we can share what it is that we have with other ministries and other churches get to come and be a part. But how many of you guys know that as time goes on, things have to be repaired, things have to be fixed, things have to be updated? And so I'm grateful though for what it is that people that have gone before us have done. Do you know that? That what we're enjoying here today is the result of the faithfulness and the generosity of generations gone by. And so we are simply stewards of what it is that has been done up to this point. And so, you know, many of you guys have maybe recognized that this isn't a big gopher out here. It's just my father is out there working his magic when it comes to landscaping. Him and Larry McAlpine, and I think Chris Blaine, they roped him into it. I don't even know how he got out there one day. I walked out there and he was helping too, you know. But we're just doing some things around here to upgrade. And how many of you guys know upgrade is good? Change is good. It's healthy. And so what we're doing is we're working on some things. We've got some landscaping. We've got some skylights that are 20 years old and those are leaking. And we're having to put buckets under those. And how many of you guys know that's no good? Water and drywall, no bueno, right? So, you know, we just got, I don't know, it's so funny. The first Sunday we had this wall up, somebody walked in and Aaron overheard them say, something's different. Did they move the drums? You know, we did more than that. We tore down all of the stuff that was up there. And we put some projectors up there. And so that's a video wall that we did. And so these are some projects that, how many of you guys know, they don't give this stuff away. And so it just takes money to do that. And I believe that he has more than enough money. And so it's just up to us to faithfully take care of the house, just as generations have before. And so on May 19th, we're going to be receiving a Heart for the House offering. And the goal is $50,000, and that kind of covers what it is, some of the things that we've done up to this point. You know, future, as we move down the road here, there's some things that we'd like to do in the foyer and in the children's department, in the youth department. We want to just freshen some stuff up. It's not like we're going to completely tear the thing apart and redo it, but how many of you guys know sometimes it's ready for a fresh coat of paint? I built my house 10 years ago and I've put a fresh coat of paint on it yesterday and I'm like, wow, I should have done this a long time ago. You know, so that's what we're doing around here, man. We're just freshening some things up, and so we just need your help. And so a couple things I would ask is that you would pray about it. You know, pray about it. Ask the Lord what it is that he would have you to give in that offering that's above and beyond your tithes and your offerings. Talk to your wife or your spouse about it, you know, and come to an agreement. Agreement is always good when it comes to sowing a seed. And then finally plan, you know, because generosity and stewardship is planned, it's calculated, it's budgeted, and it's intentional. And you know, when you do those things, you're stepping out in faith. You're walking it out in faith, and that's what we're going to do. And so I know May is a busy month, and you may be thinking, well, I'm not going to be here that Sunday. It's okay. We have multiple ways that you can give, and you know how to do that. And so, you know, just decide in your heart what it is that you're going to do. And then on May 19th, we'll be taking up this offering just to help continue to promote the kingdom of God in Southwest Iowa. Amen? How many of you guys want to do that? I'll tell you what, I want my head Heavenly Father to, I've been getting a little bit of grief because I haven't been out there helping them. So I went out there one day this week. I'm like, that's it. I'm tired of people, you know, messing with me and saying that I don't help. So I went out there and helped one day, you know, and Pastor Mike was out there and Larry, and they're looking at some stuff. And what I like about these two guys is they don't settle. Okay. You know, if something isn't right, they make it right. Because it's God's house, man. This is where we come and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as a family. And I'm thankful for it. Are you? Amen. Well, let's continue our series that we started here a couple weeks ago called Overcoming Roadblocks. And we started this a couple weeks ago because how many of you guys know none of us like to see this in our life? Anybody in here enjoy seeing a roadblock? Anybody enjoy having to turn around and go back? No, we don't. We don't like seeing those. But the first week that we were in this and looked at this, we looked at what James talked about, and he just said, listen, there's going to be times where you come up to obstacles and you come up to roadblocks in your life. And we looked at what it is that he had to say, and I don't want to go into great depth on that, but our key text was John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is that I may come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. How many of you guys know that he came to give you life and life more abundantly, right? We have eternity as our home, but man, while we're here on this earth, we should live life in abundance. We should live life, you know, being blessed and not living behind a roadblock. And so, you know, one of the things that James said there in verse 16 of chapter 1 is this. He said, don't be misled. Don't be deceived. I like what the Message version says. It says, don't get thrown off of course. And I tell you what, it's pretty easy to get thrown off course when we come into obstacles and roadblocks that come up against us because we're fleshly creatures, you know? Sometimes it's just like, you know, you come into them roadblocks and you kind of get mad or you get upset and you know, you have an attitude and you know, and some of those things that we talked about last time. But man, if we want to move past it, we're going to have to think a little bit differently. We're going to have to do something differently. We're going to have to look at his word. We're going to have to listen to the Holy Spirit in our lives and determine what it is that we need to change, what it is that we need to adjust so that we can move through and around these things, because God wants us to have a rich, satisfying life, you know, and Jesus has done all that he needs to do for you to live that rich and that satisfying life. Did you know that? Yeah, he did. So how do we move past these roadblocks that are holding us back? I am so glad you asked. Tim Hoskins spoke on Wednesday night, and if you weren't here, you should go listen to it, because he had a very great in-depth look at the children of Israel, and I'm going to steal some of his content as we go, because it's a great illustration. Because, you know, you think about the children of Israel, you know, the nation of Israel, they're in Egypt. How many of you guys know it was a roadblock when Pharaoh didn't want to let them go? Right? That's a roadblock. That's when you're being held back and you're being in bondage and you're being enslaved, you know, that is a roadblock. But man, what did God do? He brought them out. Then they faced the Red Sea, another roadblock. But what did God do? He made a way. He made a way in that. You know, I like what Deuteronomy 6:23 says. It says that God said, I brought you out so I could take you in. Did you know that? God brought them out so he could take them in. And the same thing is true for you today. Well, that was just the Israelites. Well, we're going to talk about that. That kind of attitude. We're going to talk about that. No, God brought us out so he could take us in. You know, I wrote down some stuff here. You know, I believe that God wants to bring you out so he can take you in. Maybe you're living a life of condemnation. God wants to take you out of condemnation and take you into a place of confidence. He wants to take you out of a place of depression and into a place of joy. How many of you guys would like some joy? He wants to take you out of a place of bitterness and into a place of forgiveness. Amen? He wants to take you out of pain and into health. He wants to take you out of loneliness and into a relationship. He wants to take you out of selfishness and into selflessness. And finally, he wants to take you out of poverty into more than enough. Amen? So in order to move past these roadblocks, there's some things that we have to do. We got to do them. Guess what? It's I was reading this in this one book, so encouraging, that, you know, a lot of the promises of God don't just fall off the tree like a ripe cherry into your lap. They don't just fall off. I think that's what we think sometimes. You think, well, I'm a believer, so that's just the way it's going to be. No, there's some things we got to do. There's some things that we have to apply ourselves to in order to receive and to move from that place, like God did with the children of Israel, where he moved them out and took them into this place. The same is true. And so we're going to look here at Numbers 13. You know, you guys remember, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and Tim talked about it the other night, that these spies were sent out, the 12 spies were sent out for 40 days, and they checked out the land, and they came back. Tim says they were, that the grapes were as big as a watermelon. I didn't know that, but he gave us that great information on Wednesday night. That'd be kind of cool. Watermelons are cool. Can you imagine a grape that big, too? That'd be kind of fun to just, I got to get back on track in here. So anyway, you know, they went in. The people were powerful, and there were giants in the land, and there were fortified cities, and we remember all of these things. And, you know, I think the thing that we think about, though, in that is that when they went in there, they were seeing with their eyes. They were looking with their eyes, and they talked, and they talked, and they talked, and they talked some more about it. You know, when we talk, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The roadblock that we face, the challenge that we face. These 10 spies, when they went in, I don't believe in my heart that when they went in that they had the attitude and the belief that they did. I think they went in and they began to look around and they began to look at things and see things. How many of you guys have ever been there before? I've got a son, he started playing baseball this year and it's his first year. So he's not real confident. You know, so when he gets down to the field, I watch him where he's starting to look around. He's looking at the pitcher and how fast he's throwing, and he's looking at these other guys and how well they're playing, and he begins to think about himself and how he doesn't have that confidence. I think we're the same way. We start looking at things and we begin to talk about them, and we begin to talk about the problem, and it becomes bigger and bigger. You know, it's like with Will. I'm like, listen, he's not a major league pitcher. You can do this. You can hit the ball. I promise you. I've seen you. You have great hand-eye coordination, you know, and I'm trying to instill that into him. But I think that the more that he thinks about it and has that self-talk, it becomes bigger. That roadblock becomes bigger. We do the same thing in life. Situations that we face and things that we come up against, we talk to our wife about it. We talk to our husband about it. We talk to the dog about it. We talk to whoever will listen to us, because it looks big. And it becomes bigger. But we can't do that. I'm getting ahead of myself. So what I want you to see here is in Numbers 13:30. Look at this. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as he stood before Moses. Actually, during praise and worship, I was thinking about this. You know, we were singing these songs. You know, that it says in some versions that they ripped their clothes. Man, they were trying to get their attention. And look what it says here. It says, "Let us go up at once and take the land." He said, look at this, note, "We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. And what did they say? "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than us." So the thing I want you to see is that two of them believed that they could. Yep. And 10 of them didn't believe that they could. And that is a huge key when it comes to this life of overcoming roadblocks. And that is the area of what it is that we believe. When it comes to the roadblock that you face, what do you believe about it? What do you believe about it? Do you believe that it's possible to overcome, or do you believe it's impossible to overcome? Do you believe that there can be change, or do you believe that this will never change? Do you believe that God is moving, or that, nah, he's not moving. He moved in days gone by, but I haven't seen him move for quite some time. Or do you believe that you can be healed? Or do you believe, I guess this is just the way it is, this is the way it's gonna be, and I have to be sick. What is it that you believe? Because, you know, in Hebrews 3, we won't go there, but it says that God couldn't bring them in. Why? Because of their unbelief. It's the last verse of chapter 3. He could not bring them in. So as he said, that was his desire, was to take them out and bring them in. He wants to take you out and bring you in. But with the children of Israel, as Second, I think it's in Corinthians, it says that these are an example for us as believers. If you want to be taken out and brought in, it all comes down to what it is that you believe. And he says in Hebrews 3 that he could not bring them through that roadblock because of their unbelief. So what you believe about your roadblock determines if you will overcome. What you believe determines whether or not you will overcome. Joshua and Caleb, they went in and they saw with their natural eyes. They saw the very same things that the other 10 guys did. But what's interesting is that they saw it as a place of abundance. They saw it filled with everything that God promised. And they saw the people. They saw the obstacles. They saw all the same giants. They saw all the mighty fortified cities. But what they saw did not affect what they believed. What they saw did not affect it. And we have to have that same attitude. They believed God's word. They believed God's promise. And what it was that they were looking at didn't change what it was that they believed. And we can believe like that. We can operate like that. We can live like that. I want to live like that. You know, in my life and in the things that are going on in my life, that's exactly how I want to operate. And the same thing is true with you. But the 10 spies, man, they said, yeah, it's a good land, but the people are powerful, fortified cities. And they allowed the circumstances, they allowed the situation to determine their belief. Numbers 13:33 says that when they saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, next to them, look at this, next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what we thought too. It's interesting. You have to be careful what you allow yourself to feel about circumstances or situations that you face. I'm not saying that you shouldn't feel. I'm saying you have to be careful what you allow yourself to feel, where you allow yourself to take yourself. Just as these guys did, man, they're talking about it, exalting. But before, I think that before they ever said it out of their mouth, they felt it in their heart. It's just like Will. He's looking at this, and the little thing up here is going like this. It's spinning. It's looking. It has a feeling. As a dad, I'm trying to say, listen, man, you don't have to feel that way. You can do this. And that's what your Heavenly Father is saying to you. But a lot of times what happens in the life of a believer, and you know, we can all fall prey to this, is that our feelings sometimes dominate. How many of you guys have ever been there? We won't get into the details on that. There's been Sundays I go home, I'm like, dear God, why did I say that? So I'm not gonna say that. You guys get it. We all are people who have feelings. And I believe that feelings are good because God put them there for a reason. But the point of the matter is we can't allow them to dominate. We can't allow them to have the call. We can't allow them to make the call in our life. Well, I just feel like it, so this is what I'm going to do. Or I don't feel like it, so I'm not going to do it. When we live our life that way, we're not going to overcome the roadblock. And so we have to find where we are in our notes here. And that is this. Allow your feelings to lead and to dictate will change the way you think. Allowing the way you feel will change the way you think, and it will change the way that you believe. Feelings will change what you believe. You guys remember David? I'll jump over and highlight this, but remember when David and his men had been out at war, and they've been out just, you know, winning and stuff, and they go home, and their city's on fire. And it says that they had feeling, man. They wept until they couldn't weep anymore. But let's notice a difference between David and his men. Because David, what did he do, man? He went to the Lord. He didn't allow those feelings to just continue. You know, he didn't make a decision out of his feelings. He went to the Lord. He sought the Lord and asked what it was that he should do. But what did his men do, man? They're crying and they're whining and they're complaining. The next thing you know, their feelings, that's it. That's the guy right there. He's the one at fault. Let's kill him. So we just know for sure that feelings, man, they will get you in trouble when you allow them to dictate and make the call. Feelings will change what you believe. I don't feel like forgiving them, so you don't. I don't feel like walking in love, so you don't. I don't feel like preferring that person, so you don't. I don't feel like walking in understanding with that spouse of mine. I don't feel like being patient. I don't feel like serving. I don't feel like giving. I don't feel like tithing. I don't feel like surrendering my life. So what do you end up doing? We end up living a life based on our feelings. Not a good place to be in, right? You guys ever had those feelings? Anybody in here? Am I the only one? It sure gets quiet in here when you start talking about that stuff. But it's a truth. I think that we wonder why we're stuck sometimes. We wonder. We're like, oh, I've been praying. I've been doing all this stuff, Lord. And we wonder why we're stuck. And I think it really comes down to the fact that we are dominated by our controlled by our feelings. And if we would just say, you know what? I'm done allowing my feelings to call the shot. Because his word doesn't say, you know, that if we walk by our feelings, we please him. No, it says if we walk by faith, we please him. If we walk by love, we're gonna be blessed. And so we have to check our feelings at the door, you know? We just gotta, I love what Tim said on Wednesday night. There's times in his life where he just take authority over him. It's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not gonna live this way. I'm not gonna respond this way. I'm not gonna do that. You know, and just make that determination that feelings are not going to dictate. Because Joshua and Caleb, man, they didn't allow it. They didn't allow what they saw. They didn't allow what they heard. They didn't allow what they felt to determine or change what it was that they believed. No, God said, he said, their response was, God said it's ours. God said we would have it. God said he'd be with us. So let's go take it. Yeah. We didn't, you know, I think that it was like the circumstances were there, but they realized, man, our God is bigger and we can do this. He's with us. He's gonna help us. And so really it was just this simple, simple fact that it's like, you know what? I'm just gonna take God at his word. I'm just gonna simply believe that he's gonna help me overcome this. He's gonna help me move from where I am to where it is that he wants me to be. And I don't have to worry about how it's gonna happen. I'm just gonna stay engaged with him with faith that, you know what, I'm not allowing these feelings to dictate. And that's what Joshua and Caleb did. So do you believe like Joshua and Caleb? Yes. Or do you believe like the other 10 spies? There's a big difference. Or are you full of unbelief like the other 10? You know, we remember the two names of the guys that believed. You don't know the name of the other 10 because nobody wants to be associated with those guys. We want to be associated with the guys that believed God. Amen. So because of people's unbelief, God wanted to just get rid of them all. Remember that? They're unbelieving and he's like, that's it, just get rid of them. And I know, notice what Moses did. Moses interceded for the whole group. What a man. I mean, all these doubting people full of unbelief and they're ready to stone Moses and Aaron and go back and pick a different leader and go back, you know. But look at what Moses said. Moses said, what will the Egyptians think? Now, this is the Egyptians, right? The Egyptians are likened unto the world. It says they know. They know the power. They know your power. They know that he appeared to your face. They know that you go before them. Even the Egyptians knew what was going on. Do people around you know what's going on? And that's where it's just like, man, the Egyptians knew it. And yet the children of Israel just chose to be in unbelief. They chose to just, you know, go that route. God said, I will pardon them. And the older generation won't receive because they did not believe. Refused to listen, and they chose not to believe. Numbers 14:24 says, but my servant Caleb, look at this, has a different attitude. Actually, I was looking at these notes, I'm like, man, these are very, very similar to the first same things that James said in chapter 1. We talked about attitude. I was like, wow. But my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land. Caleb had a different attitude. Some versions say he had a different spirit. We call it the spirit of faith. It's a different attitude. And I think too that not everybody has it. You got that right. But if you want to move through and you want to do great things for God, you got to have the spirit of faith. You know, and I think we look at what Caleb and Joshua had and it's like, man, I want to be like that. Well, then you got to have the spirit of faith. Because this, it wasn't just something that was naturally, you know, I think that they had good character, but it wasn't natural, man. It was a spirit that believed God. It was just a firm persuasion, like an unmovable, an undenying truth in their heart that was sown in their heart and in their life. It wasn't like a physical strength. It was a spiritual strength. And so that's what they had. It was a different attitude. And God believed God. And because he did, God said, I'm going to move your obstacle. I'm going to move you past it. I'm going to move you out of that place. I'm going to move you into blessing. Why? Because he chose to live in belief of what it was that God said, not in unbelief. So are you living in belief of what it is that God has said or unbelief? You know, Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So it's according to what it is that you believe. And it's more than just, well, I know that. It's more than head knowledge. And it's within you. It's who you are. It's that you know that God will supply all that you need. You know that he's going to heal you. He knows that you're going to come through. You know that he's going to promote you and advance you and help you and give you wisdom. That's what it is. That's that faith that we have to have. There is no reward in unbelief. There is no reward in unbelief. And the thing we got to understand is it's not, you don't just step into belief and stay there forever. You can move into the area of unbelief in your life. And that's why I believe that the Word of God is very, very clear to tell us that, man, we got to renew our mind. We got to renew our thinking, because our thinking, much like the way we feel, which, you know, is your mind is your will and your emotions and your feelings. And so, you know, if you're allowing your mind and your feelings to dictate, it's going to move you from a place of belief to a place of unbelief. And so we have to know there is no reward. And we saw that firsthand in the children of Israel. They did not receive the reward. God could not bring them in. And, you know, it's funny because in verse 39, it says that they were filled with grief. They tried to go in after God said, that's it. You're all dying here. You're all staying here. You're all go back to the wilderness. Start heading back to the Red Sea. Oh, can you imagine being, I would have been like, if I was like 20 years old and under, I would have just been like, thank you, Lord. You know, but the rest of them, man, them older ones are like, okay, oh, no, we'll go. And we've done that with kids, right? When kids get in trouble and it's like, okay, that's it. You're going to do this. And then all of a sudden they want to follow the directions, right? Okay, I'll do it. That's what the children of Israel are doing. Like, okay, let's go up. We'll take it at once. And they go up to the top of the hill and Moses is like, no. You missed it. You missed the boat. You were full of unbelief. So we can't be full of unbelief. Unbelief will keep you parked behind the roadblock from receiving and enjoying all that God has and experiencing the rich and satisfying life that Jesus came to give you. So let's have the same spirit and attitude that Joshua and Caleb had. Firm, solid, unmoved, believing that God would see us through. So here we are 40 years later. Okay, fast forward 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb, man, these guys had it going on. They had to have patience. Oh, I mean to tell you, yeah, so patient. 40 years later, God says, I'm going to move you past this roadblock. I'm going to bring them into this promised land. Look what it says in Joshua 1. This is some 40 years later. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan and you and all of this people to the land which I am giving to you and them, the children of Israel. Every place of the sole of your foot will tread upon, I'll give it to you. As I said to Moses. And so what do we see here? God tells Joshua, it's time. The thing that you believed, the thing that you were unwavering in when you stood there with the 10 other spies, it is ours. We can go in there and we can take it now. You still believe it. Now is the time to arise, to stand up and go in and take it. What does that tell us? It tells us that the giants were still there. The fortified cities were still there. All of the obstacles and roadblocks that were there that stopped them before were there. But guess what? Joshua and Caleb, they're just like, no problem. But the Lord said, you have to arise and you have to go in and you have to tread on it. Now, tread's kind of a different word, but basically Joshua and his people had to take what it was that God promised to them. Did you know that you must take what God has promised you? You got to take it. So the first thing you got to do is you got to believe it. You got to believe that the promises of God are true in your life, and then you begin to take them. Faith takes. Faith says, healing's mine. I'm taking that now. Faith says, he will supply. I'm going to apply myself. I'm going to work. I'm going to allow him to bless me. But there's some things I got to do in order to get that. People say, I'm waiting on God. But the reality of it is that God is waiting on them. He's waiting on them to take up the promises that they had. They could have stood there. Joshua and Caleb, well, Lord, we're just waiting for you to eliminate the fortified cities, eliminate the giants, we're not moving until you eliminate it. That's not what God said. God said, arise, go up and take what it is, and I'll be with you. And the same thing is true for you. You know, sometimes I think we're waiting for God to do something, and he's waiting on us. You know, when it comes to condemnation, or if it comes to depression or a lack or healing that you need, something in your life that is holding you back that you need, you have to just say, you know what? Let's go to the Word of God and let's find out what it has to say. And then let's take that. And then when condemnation and unhappiness and depression and unforgiveness and bitterness and whatever it is that's holding you back decides to creep into your life, then that's when you stand up and you say, no, this is what the Bible says. I'm not believing that I have to live in unforgiveness. I'm not believing that I have to be condemned for the rest of my life for what I did in days gone by. No, I'm forgiven. And I'm not going to allow the enemy to hold me right here. God has provided a promised land, and he wants me to go into that land. And so we have to take what it is that God promised to you. 40 years, Joshua and Caleb said, let's go. And they still had that attitude. You take the woman with the issue of the blood. She's like, all I got to do is I got to move up there and I got to touch his garment. You take, there's so many examples in the Bible. The people that are celebrated in the Bible, what did they do? They had to move. They had to take. They had to exercise what it was that they believed. And the same is true for you and I. It hasn't changed. It has not changed. It's not just going to fall into your lap. It's not. There's stuff that we have to do. Joshua 18:23. Look at this. But there remained among the children. Get this, guys. This is amazing, okay? So here you got the generation that died off. He tells Joshua, let's go in. And then here we are, just a little ways down the road, Joshua 18:2-3. But there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes. You guys remember? There were 12 tribes, okay? There were 12 tribes that were taken over, but look right here. Seven tribes which had yet to receive their inheritance. Isn't that amazing? They're in the promised land, yet they have yet to receive their inheritance. And listen to what Joshua says. Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God and your fathers have given you? They had been there. If you read some of the commentaries, they had bring the Philistines and many of the people of those areas down to a place where they were just of no effect. And really they didn't continue to do what it was that, you know, the Lord had promised and said, listen, you need to eliminate them. They were actually kind of living off of them and using them, and they kind of turned the tables on the people that were living in the area, and instead of just finishing what it is that God told them to do. And so they were just, you know, a little bit lazy, a little bit indifferent, a little bit of apathy, you know, and just resistant to settle down. They were kind of nomadic people because they had been traveling for all these years out wandering around. And so here they are, and the Lord's saying, listen, take what it is that's yours. But yet seven of these tribes, they didn't do it. And Josh was in essence saying, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Take what's yours. And so my point is, possessing God's promise in your life requires action. So are you like the children of Israel? You know, maybe you're in the promised land, but how are you taking what it is that's yours? Is Joshua saying, what are you waiting for? I don't want him to say that to me in my life. And I hope that you don't either. Because, you know, God did what it is. He sent his son, Jesus. He died on the cross. He paid the price for everything that we need. So it's just up to us to get in the word, find out what it promises us, and apply it to our life and take it and say, yes, that's mine. I will have it now. Hebrews 4:1-2 says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come up short. Isn't that interesting? So that's saying here, there's going to be people that come up short. How many of you guys have ever come up short? Yeah. I don't carry cash, and we've been going to these events for our kids, and you walk in, and it's like, you get your wallet of cash out, and it's like, oh gosh, I don't have enough. And so then you're begging, you come up short. And that's what believers are doing. They're coming up short. And one thing you need to notice too is that let us fear. Now this isn't being afraid, but it's like a reverence for what it is that God wants to do in our lives. And it's like, man, he doesn't want me to come up short. Look what it goes on to say. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Look at this. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So here's the thing, guys. We got to mix his word. We got to mix his promises with faith. What is faith? Faith is what you believe. Faith is an action. Faith is an act. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth or somebody, one of these old timers, he'd walk back and forth across the stage saying, faith is an act, faith is an act, faith is an act, trying to get people to understand that faith is an action. It's not just what you believe. If you believe something, you act upon it. And so we have to mix our faith with what God promises us. You know, it's kind of like these bars that my wife makes. They're surprise bars. Is that what you call them? Yeah. Monster cookies. That's it. You guys like monster cookies? I'm not going to eat this now because I don't have a drink and I really want some cold milk with that. But how many of you guys know that monster cookies, they're filled with goodness. They're filled with chocolate chips. No, you're not holding that. They're filled with M&Ms. What else do they have in it? Oatmeal? Is there an oatmeal? Oatmeal, peanut butter. Oh, they're just filled with goodness, aren't they? Now, I thought about bringing all the ingredients and mixing them up for you. And you know, oh, this is so good. I'm ready to have this when I get done with this because it's gonna be good. And how many of you guys know that when it comes to monster bars, I wouldn't just throw just anything in a monster bar. Why? Because it's gonna mess it up. Like, I wouldn't take like ramen noodles and be like, a little bit of that and we mix that up. Why? It's gonna mess it up. It's gonna contaminate it, right? That's what unbelief does to your faith walk. And so we have to make sure that we are in belief belief to his word. We need to make sure that we're in faith. We need to make sure that we're that our feelings are in check. We got to make sure we're walking in love. We got to make sure that we're doing what the word of God says to do. I mean, there's a lot of things in your roadblock that you might think in your mind, man, there's a lot of stuff, but there might just be one little contaminant to what it is that's going on. And if you'll just quiet yourself, go to the Lord, he'll share with you what that is. He'll help you to see it. And man, when you remove that thing, it changes the dynamic of what's going on. It changes the way the roadblock looks. It dissolves the roadblock and you can move past it. But we have to make sure that we're mixing our faith with what it is that he has promised. Now, I was so gracious that I actually spent the whole afternoon making monster bars for all of you. I didn't. Actually, Gayla did. So, when we get done, out in the foyer, there is a monster bar for everyone in here. Now, here's the caveat. You have to go out there and you have to take it, right? Like, I could serve you all. I could walk through and give one everybody to everyone, which is what a lot of times believers were doing. We're waiting for him to just throw it in our lap. But the blessing of God is out there. The blessing of the monster cookie is out there in the foyer. It's sitting out there on the counter. There's no milk. You have to get your own milk. Sorry. Actually, there's a couple gallons of milk in the freezer if we wanted to get that out. But anyway. But what do you got to do? You know, Pastor Mike, he's over there salivating all over my monster cookie. Doug Reed, he about took a bite out of there. I had to slap him down before service. And some of you guys are sitting there, I want a monster bar. Guess what? You can have a monster bar. Now, some of you guys, you take more than you should. Even when the sign says only take one, you take more than one. Now, in the context of spiritual things, God bless you for taking more than you should. But in the context of monster bars, you take one, okay? When you go out there, take one. If I see anybody out there walking around with two in their hand, I will have to have one of the ushers open field tackle you. But here's what I want you to get. I want you to get the fact that you have to live a life. There is a mixture of belief in his promises. There's a mixture of faith in what it is that he wants to do for you. And no one can do it for you. Did you know that? You want to move past this thing that's going on in your life. You just have to say, you know what? I'm going to slide some stuff off to the side. We're going to focus in on what needs to be done here. If it's unforgiveness, if it's bitterness, if it's loneliness, whatever it is, just say, you know what? This is provided for me, and I'm going to get in here. I'm going to find out what it promises me, and I'm going to take it. I'm going to take what is mine. And so I want you guys to understand today that we can't live this life of unbelief. And the enemy, man, he wants to get in and he wants to sow unbelief in your life. But you have to be strong. You got to guard yourself. As Proverbs says, you got to guard your life, guard your heart, because it flows the issues of life. And so when we do that, when we mix our faith with what it is that God promises, then we can take it. So I know I've lost many of you guys because it's 11 o'clock and you're already thinking about that monster bar that's out there. So let's just finish this up. So you got to mix faith with God's promises. In your notes there's a bunch of things. You know, there's verses for some of these things. You know, how long are you going to allow? Just like Joshua said, how long are you going to not take what it is that is yours? How long are you going to allow tormenting thoughts? How long are you going to live with guilt and condemnation? How long are you going to let the enemy whisper in your ear? How long are you going to, put up with what it is that you're putting up with? Say, no, man, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to apply the word to my life. And so here's the last point I want you to see. And as Linda goes up, we'll bring this to a close. It says, the last point is this, to say what it is that you believe. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, it is written, I believe and therefore I speak. And that's a great indicator, guys, of what it is that you truly believe. And you can say, well, I believe. I'm not in unbelief. Well, maybe you should ask your wife or somebody that's close to you. Hey, what is it that you predominantly hear me talking about? Because what it is that's coming out of your mouth, just like the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if you're not believing that God can change the circumstance, if you're not believing that the situation will ever change, if you're not believing that he can supply your need or heal your body or whatever it is, it's gonna come out of your mouth. Because it's gonna be the opposite of what belief is. It's not gonna line up with the word of God. And so you just have to make sure that and listen to the words that are coming out of your mouth, because they determine what it is, the way that you're going. It says, I believe, therefore I speak. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. Joshua and Caleb spoke from what was in their heart. They spoke it and they tried with everything that was in them. They tried to get the rest of the people that were around them to not go into unbelief. And that's the determination that you and I have to have. That's like, you know what? People around us, they're gonna be in unbelief. It just is what it is. It's sad because God has so much more for them. But it's just like, we have to determine, like, I'm not gonna be that way. I'm gonna be a person of spirit of faith in my life, right? Know that I'm able. Let's go now and do it. God said what he believed. And so God says this in Numbers 14, nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord is, I fill the whole earth. That's another point that what God was saying. God said this in the midst of a group of people that did not believe. Even God was saying, you know what? It doesn't look good. Look at all these people. They don't believe. But you know what? As surely as I am God, this will happen. And my glory will fill the earth. And so we see an example in Joshua and Caleb. We see one in God. We have to choose to believe. We have to choose to take what belongs to us. And we have to choose to say what the word says. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. We thank you so much for your word. Yes, it is alive. And Father, I know today that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to hearts. He's been speaking to people about what's going on. Yes, there are roadblocks that you face that he wants to move you past. And Father, I thank you that as they apply what it is that you're telling them in their heart, they'll make that decision. They'll change their belief. If they're in unbelief, they'll move into an area of belief, an area of faith, an area of action. Yes, acting out what the word of God says. And Father, I thank you that as they obey you in what it is that you have told them to do, you'll bring relief. You'll bring healing. You'll bring restoration. You'll bring wholeness. Yes, I speak healing. I speak wholeness over these situations. Yes, today, your word is true. Your word is unchanging, Father. In all of these situations, Father, where there is healing that is needed, I thank you that you are the God that heals. You are the God that heals. You are the God that heals. Yes, I thank you that you're healing hearts. You're healing hearts. Yes, I thank you, Father, for a melting taking place. A melting taking place. Yes, Father, a surrender of life, a surrender in homes, a surrender in couples. Yes, a surrender to you. Yes, Father, because there is a great work, Father, where you're wanting to take. You're wanting to take them into a place of blessing. Yes, that place that seems so far away is right around the corner. It's right there. It's right there. I thank you that they're believing to begin to believe again. Believing to again. Yes, again, believing. Yes, trusting. Yes, we thank you. I thank you, Father, that you're doing a work in homes. You're doing a work in marriages. You're doing a work in businesses. You're doing a work in hearts, Father. Yes, we thank you for your power at work in us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you know, if you're here today and you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. Don't leave without giving your heart to Christ. If you're far from him and you need to get back in right standing with him, today is your day, man. Make the decision. Say, God, that's me. Just lift up your hand and say, Brian, just pray with me. Pray with me to return. And if that's you, I see that hand. Is there anybody else that wants to join? I see that hand. You can put it down. anybody else at all. You want to get back in right fellowship with him or give your heart to him. Anybody at all. All right. Well, let's join these two. Let's pray with them. So if you'll just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what Jesus did. We confess our sin to you today. We thank you that we are forgiven and brought back into right standing and fellowship today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, those two that responded, if you were one of those two, or maybe you didn't respond, our prayer team, they'll be down here afterwards, and they'd love to pray with you. They'd love to meet with you. They'd love to give you some resources. Maybe there's somebody in here and you want somebody to believe with you for healing or something that's going on. Come down here. They'll agree with you. There's great power in agreement. Amen? All right. Well, he's good, isn't he? How many of you guys are ready to go out and take what it is that belongs to you? How many of you guys, let's see a hand, show of hands. Who's going to take what belongs to them? Amen. Well, hey, you are dismissed. Go out and enjoy. Take one. That's all I got to say. You are dismissed. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you back here Wednesday night at 7 p.m.